This morning we are looking at Luke chapter 24. So I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Luke 24. Luke 24, we'll begin reading at verse 1, but before we do so, let's ask God for his blessing. Please pray with me. Now, Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, it's our prayer that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints and your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of your mighty strength, which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words and returned from the turning from the tomb. They told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed, and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, have you ever run into someone who looks familiar to you, but you just can't quite place them? You smile, you make small talk, but all the time you're thinking, how do I know this person? Where do I know this person from? And then later, maybe hours, it suddenly clicks, that's who that was. And with that realization, everything comes rushing back, the memories, the conversations, the connection. Or maybe it's an old friend that you see years later, and at first you don't recognize them. Time has changed them, and then something shifts, and suddenly you see it. You know them. You recognize them. Now that experience of not recognizing at first and then suddenly seeing things clearly, that's right at the heart of our passage this morning. Because in Luke chapter 24, on that very first Easter morning, that's exactly what's happening. Jesus has risen from the dead, but no one quite understands what's going on. The women at the tomb, they're confused. The disciples, they don't believe the report. The travelers on the road to Emmaus are discouraged and disoriented. They're seeing, but they're not recognizing. They're not understanding. They're wondering what is going on. They're trying to make sense of the events that have taken place. But then something happens. They begin to remember what Jesus had said. And when they remember, their eyes are open and they fully recognize Jesus. And recognizing Jesus in Luke is placing your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. They remember what Jesus said and they recognize him. And that's when everything changes. This morning we're looking at the resurrection account. And we're going to follow those same steps that each of these groups go through. The wondering, the remembering, and then the recognizing. And the point that Luke is bringing home, driving home for us, is that to recognize Jesus is to believe in him, to place your faith in him, to see him with the eyes of faith. And as we think about what that means for us, I invite you to think about where you are in that process. Are you simply wondering about the events that took place? Are you remembering what God said, or are you at the point of recognizing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? So let's look together at how God brings his people from confusion to clarity and then to Christ himself. First of all, we have wondering what is happening. At the beginning of our passage, if you have your Bibles open, right at the beginning of chapter 24, nothing is clear. No one fully understands what's going on. There's confusion, there's questions, there's doubt. And the first people we meet are the women who are on their way to the tomb early in the morning. They're expecting to find Jesus' body, but instead the tomb is empty. And Luke tells us they were perplexed. What's going on? They're standing there confused. This is not how things were supposed to be. Jesus has already died and now his body is missing, and that doesn't make any sense to them. This is not what they were expecting at all. And we need to put ourselves in their shoes and understand what they're feeling, because from their perspective, they're standing in the middle of the greatest miracle of history, and they can't quite wrap their minds around what's taking place. The resurrection of Jesus is the most important, most astounding event the world has ever seen. A man who was completely dead, his heart had stopped, his lungs were still, his eyes were closed, is now alive again. And in that moment, they feel confusion. Even when the angel says, "He is not here, he has risen," they're still trying to wrap their minds around what's going on. And their confusion makes sense. Imagine going to a graveside service, mourning the loss of someone you love, and then a few days later going back to the cemetery, maybe to bring some flowers. And when you arrive at the cemetery, the grave is open. The casket is there, but the body is gone. What would you think in that moment? Your first thought probably wouldn't be resurrection. Maybe you'd be wondering, well, what's happened? What's going on? What did I miss? Is this some kind of mistake? And that's exactly what the women are going through. They're trying to make sense of something that feels completely impossible. You have a similar thing going on with the two that are traveling on the road to Emmaus. These two disciples, they're walking along, talking about everything that has happened, and they're confused. They're discouraged. They're trying to piece things together and figure out what's going on. They even summarize the entire story. Jesus was a mighty prophet. He was crucified. Now the tomb is empty, and some are saying he's alive, and they still don't get it. And in that moment, Luke tells us they were kept from recognizing Jesus. So they're being kept in the dark about this. Even when Jesus himself walks right beside them, they don't see it. They don't recognize him. One of them, Cleopas, is just pouring out his heart. You can hear his disappointment and his sadness, even his shaken faith. What we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel, he says. In other words, we thought Jesus was the answer, but now we don't know what to think. So that's the two that are traveling to the road to Emmaus. And also, you've got the disciples as well. Same pattern with them. When the women come and tell them what has happened, they don't believe it. Sounds like nonsense to them. And even later, when Jesus appears to them, they're startled, they're frightened, they're unsure. Luke even says that they struggled to believe. It's just too much to take in for them. And what we see in all of this is that something incredible has happened. But each of these groups of people are struggling to make sense of it. And if we're honest, that's not so far removed from us. Because we have similar moments of confusion as well, don't we? Moments when things don't make sense. Moments of confusion or of doubt or of wondering, what is God going to do with this? Maybe it's when life doesn't go the way you expected. This is not how things were supposed to work out. Maybe it's when God doesn't seem to be working the way that you thought he would. Maybe it's when your faith feels shaken or questions start to creep in. And the question is, what do you do in those moments? Where do you turn when you're confused? When you're wondering. Because what we're going to see is that the answer is not found in trying to figure it out on your own. Clarity doesn't come from trying to solve this on your own. It comes from remembering what God said. It comes from his word. Remembering what he told me. And that, in the second place, is what we're looking at, the remembering what God said. How do each one of these groups get through the confusion on this Easter morning? How do we make sense of those moments when things just don't add up? And the answer that we see again and again in this passage is simple. Even though it's not easy to remember, but it's remembering what God said. Remembering what He told you. Every time there's confusion, every time there's doubt, the response from either the angels or from Jesus Himself is the same. Remember. They aren't told you need to work a little harder and figure it out or pull yourself together. They're told to remember. When it comes to the women, women came to the tomb. They're confused. They're grieving. They're trying to make sense of what just happened. And the angels meet them there. And there's a gentle rebuke from the angels. Why do you look for the living among the dead? In other words, you're looking in the wrong place. And then they say, remember what He told you. And that's the turning point. He's not here. He has risen. Remember, He told you this. He gave you the game plan. And then Luke tells us, and they remembered His words. Now, isn't that how it often works? You hear God's promises. You know God's promises. You've known them for years, but in a moment of confusion or pain, it's like the Spirit brings them back to you and suddenly you begin to see, your eyes are opened up. And that's what's happening here. Jesus told them exactly what would happen, but it's only once they go back to His Word that, oh, then it makes sense, then it's clear. Same thing with the road to Emmaus. Here you have two travelers on their way to the town Emmaus. And they're not just confused, they're discouraged. You can hear it in their voices. We had hoped. Now what? And Jesus, notice how Jesus is the one who comes alongside them. They didn't go out and find Jesus, He came to them. And what does He do? He gently rebukes them as well. Not harshly, just honestly. Oh, foolish one, slow of heart to believe. And then He does something completely remarkable. He walks with them as they're walking to Emmaus. He walks them through Scripture, beginning with Moses and the prophets. So He's going to the Old Testament and He's interpreting all of Scripture and explaining to them how all of the Bible points to Him. He shows them that the whole Bible has been pointing to Him all along. That's what they needed. They didn't need new information, but a right understanding of what God had already told them. The same is true for us. When we're confused, when life doesn't make sense, we don't need something brand new. We need to be brought back to God's Word. We need to remember what God has told us. Later, they sit down at the table together. Verse 30. Jesus takes the bread and He breaks it, or blesses it. And then breaks it and He gives it to them. And in that moment, their eyes are opened and they remember. They remember and recognize Jesus when He breaks the bread. And it echoes the Last Supper where Jesus said, do this in remembrance of Me. Do you see what Jesus is doing here? He gives them something tangible. He gives us something tangible to remember Him with. Because He knows how easy we forget. In the Lord's Supper, He meets us again to strengthen our weak faith, to help us to recognize Him. Reminding us that this really happened. My body was broken for you. This is My blood poured out for you. Here is a tangible, in-your-face reminder that this resurrection is real and for your salvation. And notice how this aha moment, this recognition of Jesus wasn't something that these two on the road to Emmaus accomplished on their own. It was given to them. Their eyes were opened. Just like when we pray before we open God's Word together, Lord, show us Christ, help us to see, because on our own we're going to miss it, we're going to be blind to it. Now what about us? What about your life right now? Those moments when you're wondering, what is God doing? Why is this happening? This doesn't make sense. Notice once again that it's Jesus who comes to them. And that's still true today. He meets you in your confusion and in your doubt and in your weariness. And he says the same thing to you. He says, remember what I've said. Remember. So that in those moments, what are we holding on to? What are we remembering? We're remembering his word. We're remembering his promises. I am your God, he said. I will never leave you or forsake you. I love you. I gave my son for you. I care about you. I uphold you with my hand. Nothing is outside of my control. I am working all things for your good. You may not see it yet. You may not understand it yet, but remembering what God has said is that first step towards steadying your heart, that first step towards recognizing Jesus. That's our third and our final point this morning. Recognizing Jesus. There's a movement in this passage that we've seen and we've worked through. We go from wondering, from confusion, to then remembering what God has said, and then third and finally to having our eyes opened, and we realize and we recognize Jesus. And when people finally recognize Jesus, something always happens. They don't just sit there. They don't just say, well, that's nice. They do something. Their lives change. Look at the women, for example. The women remember what Jesus said, and suddenly it clicks. He did say that this would happen. He did say that he was would rise. And what do? They run back and tell the disciples. Now they don't have everything figured out yet. They don't. They probably still have questions that aren't answered yet. But they've seen enough and they remember enough to know that this is true. And they go and they tell someone. They tell the disciples. Same thing with the road to Emmaus. They're on their way. Travelers on a road, Jesus walks with them, he explains all of the scriptures, their hearts were burning, they don't fully see until he breaks the bread, and suddenly their eyes are opened and they recognize him. And they weren't our hearts burning within us, they say. And here's what's striking. They had told Jesus to come in, have a meal with them, spend the night with them, because Jesus, as they were going to Emmaus, he was acting like he was still going further, and, well, it's the end of the day, you need to stay with us. But what do these guys do once they realize that it's Jesus? They get back on the road and take the 7-mile journey back to Jerusalem in order to tell someone about it. Because once you recognize Jesus, you have to tell someone. Same thing with the disciples. Now the disciples, if we're honest, they didn't have this figured out either. They weren't marking down the days until Christ's resurrection. They weren't sitting around saying, well, just wait, he's going to be back on Sunday. No, they were just as confused as everybody else, uncertain and even unbelieving. Which actually strengthens the truth of this story. They didn't make this up. They went through the same process of wondering, remembering, and then recognizing Christ. And when Jesus opens them, or when he meets them and opens up their eyes so that they can recognize him, everything written about me must be fulfilled. And then he gives them the message that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name. And that's the heart of recognizing Christ. That's the heart of placing your faith in Christ, to recognize him and to see him. To acknowledge that, yes, my sin is real. And that his forgiveness is greater than my sin. That his body was broken for me. That my sins are fully paid for. And it leads to a question for all of us. Where are you personally in this process? Are you still at the questioning and the wondering, confusion stage, or beginning to remember what God said, or recognize Him for who He truly is? And the reason that this is such an important process, such an important message, such good news is because if Jesus is risen, then that means that death is not the end. It means that He is stronger than the grave. It means that His sacrifice was enough. It means that for everyone who believes in Him, His resurrection is your resurrection as well. Easter is God's declaration that the payment has been accepted. If you recognize Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you place your faith in Him, your sins are completely forgiven. You have hope for a future, a new body, eternal life, a restored creation. Because He lives, you will live. And that recognition, that placing your faith in Jesus Christ, leads to telling. And that's the one thing we can't miss here. Every single person in this passage, once they recognize Jesus, they go and tell someone. Whether it's the women, whether it's the disciples, whether it's the travelers on the road to Emmaus, recognition leads to sharing the good news. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to have all the answers. You just need to say, I've seen something, I've heard something, I know it's true. A.W. Tozer said it like this, the resurrection morning was only the beginning of a great and grand and vast outreach that has never ended and will not end until our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. So we move from wondering to remembering and then recognizing Jesus. And when you truly recognize Him, everything changes. You trust Him, you rest in Him, and you tell others that He is risen. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank You that He is not dead, but He is risen just as He said. And we're thankful, Lord, for what that means for us who place our faith in Jesus Christ. How His resurrection is our resurrection as well. His life is our life. Lord, we thank You for the comfort that brings in life and in death. That we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You for the assurance that brings that by His body and blood, we have the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Bless us, Lord, as we celebrate that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.